Welcome to the Williams Neekin YB Herdon phone conference.
Good morning.
Good morning, Monty.
Monty.
How are you doing?
Fine. Is somebody else on here, too? I thought I heard double voices.
Hi. Nancy and Houston.
Great. Good morning.
Good morning.
You did hear double voices, huh? Oh, smarty.
Thought my brain was playing tricks on me there for a minute.
Oh, Monty, what you were reading from Friday, was that Dr. Blaylock's newsletter with all the omega-3s and 6s? And...
Yes.
Okay.
I think it was the June 2011 newsletter, if you take it.
I don't, but I need to, because you all have so much good information from him.
Well, I found out there's an awful lot of good information on there. I didn't not used to do it, but I decided that seeking knowledge about food and what Ruth and Mary Lou and others have said about Dr. Blaylock, I joined about 3 months ago.
I've been watching him on this program, one of the programs I watch. Guest every once in a while out of Dallas.
Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about once you join, you can go back, and that's what I like about it, is once you join, then you can go back to all of his archived ones that he's ever put out. So you not only get the monthly newsletter that comes out, but then you can also go back and find other subjects that maybe you would like to know more about, and you can go back and read all of his newsletters.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Sounds like you're talking about my favorite author.
Yeah.
Who's that, Ruth Williams?
That's right. Yeah. Do I sound different?
Do I
sound less crackly? Can you hear me better?
Yeah. Oh,
that's what I have.
What?
A new headset.
Yay.
Oh, yahoo. Thanks to Dennis. I don't have to loop the line over my other ear. My ear doesn't hurt.
What would you do without that guy?
I don't know. I have to go to town, probably.
But you don't even want to think about it, do you?
No. No. All right. So let's change that subject. But pretty valuable guy, that's right. So, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Health Style Call. The more we learn, the less we know, it seems like.
Got that
We're
right.
Just finding out how much we don't know here, maybe. Fishing around here to see what our subject was going to be for today. We are going to continue talking about whatever you wanted to talk about. That was discussion kind of just really gotten full bore going yesterday, and it was past time, but anyway, we had a good discussion going. So I want to welcome all of you who are both on the WebEx. I have some interesting things to look at here, and so we welcome you to get on to the WebEx if it's at all possible for you. If a picture is worth 1,000 words, you're only getting 1,000th by listening, I guess. So certainly we encourage you to enter the world of the WebEx. We are going to be able to talk to people all over the world and do presentations. I'm just very grateful for this because there's certainly a lot of people to be talked to. Last night I talked to some people who were originally from Ukraine, and they happened to be in our Alaska downline. So that's pretty exciting since NECAN is opening Ukraine. So good morning again, and welcome to the world of deciding what kind of bird you're going to be. We have a picture of one of our ostriches. He's up in the right-hand corner of our screen. So I decided to let him be in here to help us to think about, particularly with what we're going to introduce a little bit today. What kind of bird are we? What do we do about things when we go out and learn about them? then when we find out about them, what do we do about them? So that's going to kind of go through things as usually a little bit quickly to begin with. Well, actually, I'm not going to very much. I see we have Karen Eastwood on the screen and Monty and Nancy. Anyone on the call that would like to speak up and say, I'm here? Where are you from? Quiet out there. Okay, I got to mute the chime so I'm... Help if I push the right button. Okay, guys. So today we are going to look again at the world that we are fighting, the epidemics of chronic disease. And so then we're going to again look at our bird, really looking him right in the eye. What type of bird am I? And it's kind of, sometimes we have a different kind of a discussion. Before we begin that, is there anything that people, Karen, would you talk just kind of a little bit about what you were discussing at the end of your call yesterday that got everyone really talking?
Yeah, well, we were talking about how you're going to prepare for any kind of a disaster, whether it's man-made, natural, or whatever. And the thing about a disaster is you never know when it's coming. So if you do not prepare in advance, you can be like a lot of the people here in Cle Elum were when we had the big snow and all the roads were shut off. They were in a total panic, but we were not, because we had food stored and we were able to take care of our family. And then we went from that into talking about what are the different ways to prepare, and I think the thing that we didn't cover like I would have liked to have covered was the concept that when we're going into this season of having lots of good fruits and good vegetables, and we're going to have extra, more than what we would use, that's when we need to either can it or dry it. And in my opinion, drying is the best, and these are the reasons why. Number one, it does less damage to the value of the food. Number two, if you were in a situation where you had to get up and move quickly, that would move much easier than lots of bottles. And bottles are breakable, and you would store your dried foods into, you know, storage bags, which is very easy. But anyway, I think it's really a valuable concept to consider this idea of drying your food. Anyway, I think that's pretty much what we went through.
Right. I was going to say drying is definitely my favorite for the same reasons that you said. If you freeze it, well, and your freezer goes, well, there goes your food. You can't eat it all up that fast, and you may not have electricity, so then you can't dry it then. And so I think that one of the most valuable assets that we can have is a food dryer.
Yeah.
And so mine's coming out now. I'm already ready to start drying. We're getting a lot of fruits. I dried all summer last summer, and it's really nice. I particularly enjoyed the dried tomatoes all year. Very, very tasty. So being prepared is really an important thing.
And you know what, Ruth? When I was first doing drying years ago, I made lots of pear leather and apple leather. And I'm telling you, that is a huge favorite with kids. And in fact, my daughter... This was Cynthia. I always made the kids pack their own lunches. And you know what she'd put in her lunch? She'd put a whole bunch of pear leather. Then she'd go to school and she'd barter with all the other kids who had school lunches. She'd barter with them for this or that, and she'd have her whole lunch just with pear leather.
Like having a box of money.
But anyway, drying is such a neat thing to do because you can do such good, tasty things.
One of the things that my mom kind of taught me about food drying is that you can dry it. You might be able to dry it and not dry it quite as, like, in fruit, like apricots particularly. You can dry them not quite as dry and then put them in the freezer. And so then they'd be almost dry, and so they'd probably still last quite a while if you didn't have the freezer. But then they're just really chewy. And so sometimes I do that.
I've never tried that. That's interesting.
So some of my dry food, I did dried cabbage, particularly the year before last. Maybe it was last. I think it was year before last. I had so many cabbages, I just got really carried away with the cabbages and grew them in the garden. And so you just chop them up and put them in a freezer bag and freeze them, or put them in the food dryer and dry them. And the freezer ones, I thought, turned out a little bit better, but of course, again, the freezer goes out, then you lose all your cabbage. And you can just, if you have that chopped up fairly, in little 3/4 inch rectangles, kind of, or however, whatever, that's just to say about the size. It goes well in soup. It can hide in any kind of a casserole or something. You're getting all the cabbage vitamins without anybody ever knowing it. You know, yeah. Nobody can tell it's in there.
And then,
go ahead.
Hmm?
Well, I was just going to add in that there are those who would feel like canning or drying is a bit overwhelming. But if it is to you, then don't worry about it. But when there are good sales, or every week that you go shopping, buy something extra to add into your food storage so that you don't have to go out and put out lots of money all at one time. Just go out and buy a little bit every week and put it into your food storage. But then, drying is such an inexpensive way to fill up your food storage.
It is. And if you have your food dryer out, it's not difficult to do. You have to have I like those Ziploc bags to put it in, or you could take the air out, one of those, whatever, a vacuum packet. If you have one of those, that's not very expensive either. Dry it and vacuum pack it, and maybe the cabbage would last longer. I found that my cabbage didn't last quite a whole year, the dried cabbage. It started tasting a little different, but up until then, it was very good. That's why I said the cabbage in the freezer is a little bit better. It did last longer, but cabbage isn't as long-lasting as some things. They'll just last for, most things just last for pretty much forever.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't quite dry enough. Okay,
yep.
So any of the rest of you like to comment on, well, you know, why you don't dry, or do you need some help with it? Questions about drying or preserving?
Ruth, this is Nancy. I have never done that, but do you have a good brand of a dryer that you think, because there are a number of them on the market?
Yeah, I think pretty much everybody's favorite is the Excalibur.
Okay.
And it comes with a nice instruction booklet, too. I think that's the name of it. Dennis is going to get it out for me today. It's up on top of my freezer right now. So I'm going to get that out. Karen, what type do you use?
Well, when I first started drying, I bought my dryer from somebody local there in Yakima that had made it. And since then, Charlene, I haven't gotten another one. I just bought one at a yard sale. And, you know, it's just a little small portable food.
Mm-hmm.
Won't be a great one, but it'll get me started. But Charlene has access to a really good one, and I've got to find out from her, and then I'll tell the group what she shows.
So the only difference, really, I had a homemade one I liked really well, and I'm not sure what happened to it, but it seemed to have gotten lost in the move over to the west side of the state. I always liked that one really well. It was homemade and it was very big. And I think that difference is just the size. Like Kieran's talking about a small one, and you just can't get as much in it. So
yeah.
You can't do as much at once.
Mine was a big one, and like you, I don't even know what happened to mine, but it was really a nifty dryer.
So, okay. And then getting you get a food dryer book, and it gives you some ideas and tells you some things of what to do with different foods, and so you know, like some of the vegetables, you have to dip them, heat them in the water for hot water for boiling water for 3 minutes to kill some of those enzymes, or they just keep on working. And so sometimes you have to do that. And you know, I was doing carrots, and I thought, well, this is too much work. But you're going to do all that when you get them out and cook them and everything. So you're just changing the time when you're doing it. You're getting it all done at once. And then when it came time and I was one in the winter and I wanted to make some soup, my carrots were all ready. I just got the bag out and put a handful in the soup. I didn't have to spend any time doing it. Everything was already done. It was nice.
Yep. A lot of good advantages to drying.
Okay, I have another question for you guys today. Is this something we should discuss? And these are antibiotics. And side effects of antibiotics. They have lots and lots of side effects, as you guys all know. But antibiotics in particular may have skin rashes or itching or allergic reactions, severe water diarrhea, muscle and tendon pain, weakness and cramping, dying from some of them. I'm not going to bring up any names, I think. There was one that killed about 60,000 people. It was finally removed from the market. So there are risks of cardiovascular problems and death. What happens with these antibiotics is that they're indiscriminate. So they kill all the bacteria in the gut here. What does it say? We have trillions of bacteria in our, about 3 pounds of bacteria plus the yeast. And you need to have more, of course, more good bacteria in your gut than bad, 85% to 15% to stay healthy. So sometimes we are very grateful for our antibiotics. So they save our lives and help us to get rid of that bad bacteria. And so we have to take them when it's absolutely necessary. But then we need to also rebalance our intestinal flora so that it prevents long-term health detriments. So taking probiotics can help, and that usually is found in yogurt. What's the name of it? What is it we take? You guys help me out.
Greek yogurt?
What's in the yogurt?
I'll
have to go look and see. I've got a bottle of it. I know you guys know what I mean.
Yes.
Wow, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Got warning.
Greek yogurt.
What's in the Greek yogurt?
Flat culture.
Yes. Acidophilus.
Yeah.
Acidophilus. So you don't have to eat the yogurt. If you don't want to, you can just get some capsules that are full of Acidophilus bacteria, one of the good ones, a probiotic. And so that's really, really something that every time we take an antibiotic or you give one to a child, every time that those probiotics should be given. And in looking at this little information that I found from Dr. Mercola, it is more necessary than I even thought that we do that. We shouldn't take it lightly that we get bacteria, get diarrhea and have problems in taking antibiotics. And anytime we're going to take a antibiotic, we need to do that because what he is talking about is that when, as you guys all know probably, that yeast can grow unchecked into large colonies and take over, and that causes the tendrils of some of this yeast can literally poke holes in the lining of your intestinal wall, which results in a syndrome called leaky gut. And this is serious because then we become increasingly susceptible to a wide variety of health problems, such as arthritis, asthma, allergies, skin problems, kidney problems, digestive issues, and autoimmune disorders. And that is so common and these days, and people are having all these different kinds of problems like that. Kathleen can probably talk about that for a while, right, Kathleen?
Yes, I have a leaky gut, and I have all those things, and I don't know if it heals up sometimes. I hope it does, but I do have most of those things you listed.
Mm-hmm. And so, did you take quite a bit of antibiotics at one time, or stress
yes.
also?
Oh, I did. Yes, I would kind of get sick and couldn't get over it, and I took antibiotics, and gee, probably 20 years ago.
And it's still affecting you.
Well, it is. Either I can't just get my system on an even keel, or it's still affecting. I just don't know. I kind of sometimes I think maybe that heals up, but with the results I'm thinking about, maybe it doesn't.
It says once your gut becomes porous or leaky, it has openings that can allow undigested food particles in. When foods are absorbed in this partially broken down form, they are viewed as foreign, causing your immune system to react to them. So food sensitivities and allergies, digestive issues, and eventually autoimmune disorders can all arise as a result. In addition, the parasitic yeast can also cause you to change what you eat by causing cravings for carbohydrates like sugar and pasta and bread. Well, those nasty little yeasts, it sounds like they kind of get into your head, but they cause cravings. That sounds like some kind of invasion. For example, pasta and bread as their preferred fuel. So it should come to no surprise that weight gain is one of the telltale signs of antibiotic damage and subsequent yeast overgrowth.
There's a lady that wrote on helping that, and she said those little things are sitting down there just banging their little spoon saying, feed me, you know, get me the sugar.
Nancy?
Hi, this is Nancy, and by listening to these doctors on TV, I learned that the L-glutamine powder, if you can mix up, that helps with feeding those little holes. But, of course, I haven't been on it all that long, but I can report back later and let you know if that works. But I feel like that's what I've got because my naturopath, when she tries different things with me, it doesn't work. And I think that is the key, is that I've got the leaky gut syndrome because I had sinus infection about 10 years ago, and they kept me on antibiotics off and on throughout a period of 2 years. So I think that's when it all started going wrong. But I just recently heard about the L-glutamine, that it coats the lining of the GI tract in the stomach and allows
mm-hmm.
for that to be healed. So, I'll be.
And what is L-glutamine?
Well, it's a. I'm looking at the jar here. I want to call it an amino acid. I'm not sure if I'm.
Oh, right. I think that's correct.
I think it is too.
Okay. And
my naturopathic doctor gave that to me too.
Okay. You have a smart doctor. I don't have those kinds. I have to go to. Listen, I did the person on the TV, he's a nutritionist, and he told about it. But but he said with taking bath and probiotics and digestive enzyme, you can get your GI tract back to normal. And I think what all of this does, it causes the little villi to shorten, just as it does with gluten sensitivity. They become shorter, so they're no longer waving back and forth to pull the nutrients out of the food.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that the antibiotics shorten them?
Well, it's just the result of the antibiotic. When you have...
Oh, the leaky gut?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, I guess you'd say the yeast and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, everything all together, it's causing a problem with them, and especially if you're gluten intolerant, because
mm-hmm.
I was not always, you know, before 10 years ago, I could eat bread and things and not have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a journey for me. I've gone to so many different doctors and natural. But when this naturopath was stumped at why she didn't see positive results, that's kind of on my own is what I've determined, that that's what's happening with the lining of my GI tract.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if you know, sometimes we think, well, we don't take antibiotics. Like, I don't know when I've ever taken an antibiotic. I don't remember, but Dr. McCullough here says, unfortunately, the greatest danger posed by antibiotics does not actually come from prescribed courses of antibiotics, which you have some control over, but rather from the food you eat. The prevalence of antibiotics in both meats and vegetables has the potential to throw off or contribute to this intestinal imbalance. Animals such as cattle, chickens, and hogs raised in confined animal feeding operations, I think you guys pretty much know this, are routinely given antibiotics. I mean, I know when my brother was raising the cattle on the ranch we had, those calves hardly hit the ground before they were getting antibiotics. Both to keep them alive in stressful, unsanitary conditions and to make them grow bigger and faster. Antibiotics can be found, also be found in conventionally grown vegetables. Well, I didn't know that. The reason for this is because antibiotics in livestock end up being transferred via the manure into the soils of, that the vegetables are then grown in. Lovely.
Good grief. We can't win.
Have to have our own garden.
Yep.
That I'm not sure what we're supposed to use for. Use the food we have to compost it, but the widespread use of using super therapeutic doses of antibiotics to increase growth in livestock has been pinpointed as a leading cause for the development of new strains of antibiotic-resistant bacteria, such as a now widespread form of Staphylococcus, MRSA, or the pig strain of MRSA. All adds to an already troubling situation. We can't even kill it. And so that's AIDS has killed 17,000 people. So various MRSA strains can be transmitted from humans to animals and vice versa. So, what are we going to do about it? Well, any comments before I move on to the next? What are we going to do about it?
Is that one of his latest newsletters?
It is.
Okay.
That's only a little portion of it.
Okay, I'll find it.
Well, luckily we can look for meats that don't have antibiotics in it. Luckily we have a market in Wenatchee that brings those in.
Right, definitely. A little bit easier than growing your own. So, what can we do about it? Keep ourselves healthy, making sure we're following our program, and keeping ourselves healthy by eating what we say we need to be eating, not eating some of those things that we shouldn't be eating, so that our body stays in balance that way. So I'll bet that you guys, by eating the way we have chosen to eat here, with it, this is basically our eating program right now, I would like to be able to still get a chart that shows us our oils that we want to balance, because oil, having that balance of the omega-3s and omega-6s is critical to that balance of fighting inflammation. So to have a real good program here, I do need to get that chart fixed up somehow. I know we have the list of them, but I'd like to have it yet more clear. I haven't figured that out yet. So if you guys have ideas, let me know, and I'll paint it up. Okay, so here are the things we're doing to stay in balance. And here's our picture of the doctor who wants us to meditate for 20 minutes twice a day, exercise at least 30 minutes a day, avoid processed foods, for sure, eat plenty of organic fruits and vegetables after you wash them, spend more time in nature and less time indoors at the computer, and stop worrying about things you can't control and ditch your TV. Well, I don't know if I agree. I watch the Mariners on TV. That's good relaxation while I'm at the computer. Okay, so here's another thing. We have up here on our chart these different supplements. And so if we happen to catch something, we have some choices. So I'd like to have you guys share, when you feel like you're getting a bug, what do you do? You're not going to go reach for an antibiotic. Anyway, I'm not.
I can tell you, I pick up the immunity and take extra immunity.
All right. So
and
do I.
Extra lactoferrin gold.
So do I. Good one.
I take 5 sometimes. If I really think I'm going to come down with something right away, I take 5.
Okay. And over here's our maintenance. The other thing we should take is the Greenzymes. All that chlorophyll. I've had several instances where that was actually, especially between this and the lactoferrin, well, these 3 particularly, and probably these here in the middle, our Siaga and the lactoferrin immunity and our Greenzymes, those are powerhouses that give our immune system a real boost. We've had people who had strep use the Greenzymes and the lactoferrin and get rid of it very fast. Better than one of my friends here on the island, her daughter had a breast infection. She had a new baby. And then her mom, she had strep. And she had been trying and trying to get rid of it. And she couldn't. And she used these 2, and it was gone. Just short order. Maybe all 3 of these. I can't remember for sure if she had all 3 of them. But it was gone in a couple of days. And like my friend that had the breast, and her daughter that had the breast infection, that was gone in the afternoon. She started it like at noon, and by evening she didn't have it anymore.
Oh,
I mean, that seems like it's amazing.
Yeah.
So we don't want to be caught without these in our used-to-be medicine cabinet and our health cabinet. We have to have them on hand. You can't just put them on auto ship when you start catching it. Like you have a Band-Aid and you're bleeding or something, you can't just wait until you go to town and buy one. These have to be in there and be ready. So it's really a good idea. We're talking about being prepared. We want to be stocked up. Quite often somebody else needs some, and they always bring them back up. They get a box from me or whatever from me, and then they pay them back later. And so I think this is another way that we want to be prepared. Any comments?
Totally agree.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ruth, because if we were to have a shutdown of transportation to bring our vitamins and all the nutrients that we buy from Neken, if we were to have a shutdown of that for some reason, where would we be if we didn't have it stocked up?
I know, and I try to just order some extra ones all the time, but boy, they can certainly disappear in a hurry.
Yeah.
You get a little bit sick, you go through that lactoferrin and immunity quite quickly, not to mention the greenzymes. And so, you know, we've talked about the different kinds of disasters also that you brought up, Karen, but one of them you didn't bring up was the challenge or and the worry that we have of our enemies blasting us with some kind of bacteria.
Yeah.
So another thing we have in our preparedness, we have a room, our food storage room, which we had when I was growing up. It was called the basement. We had all our food storage down there. Living where we did, you certainly had to have food storage. But in there also, we do have some little masks that if we are given some warning that we can wear those little masks in case of a bacterial warfare type thing. A world like it is today, we think we're just safe and everything, but we don't know.
Well, one of the things we need to think about in regards to preparedness is that we all live in different parts of the country, okay? And here in the Pacific Northwest, probably one of our greatest threats is earthquakes, which can totally knock out bridges for transportation purposes and knock out electrical grids. The next one we have, of course, is our beautiful volcanoes that we have here. And just you talking about the masks that you happened to mention, you know, I wonder how many people would have wished they would have had those masks back when Mount St. Helens blew many years ago. So there's a lot of things in regards to preparedness and that people, you know, need to be aware of what is where they live, what is the greatest things that could happen in those particular areas. And one of the things we haven't mentioned, and I know we don't like to talk about it a lot, but that's medicine. You know, so many people, when they go to get the doctor prescribes either 30 days or 90 days worth of medicine. But here again, if we did have some catastrophe of some sort, that I wonder how many people have certain medications that they pretty much rely on, but they don't have very big supply in case of an emergency situation. There's a lot of things in regard to preparedness that we could be doing. It's just like I went out when I lost power this last year in regards to our ice storm that we had here. You know, I absolutely had no power whatsoever. Even my cell phone didn't work because I live in an area to where I don't get cell reception, so I had to get a kind of like a little booster from Verizon that I have my own little cell tower here at the home. But without power, my cell phone's down. It's just little things like that we don't think about that we need to just to be a little concerned. Also, I went out and I bought a, and I'm going to really use it this summer, and I bought a good, what they call a solar cooker. And that's where I can put food in it and put it out in the sun, and in 3 to 4 or 5 hours, whatever I'm cooking, it'll allow the sun to cook my food, which even takes it up to 350 some degrees. So just little crazy things we not think about sometimes.
I think I bought one of those. I have to go find it. I need to practice using it also.
Might be a pretty wise thing, not a crazy thing, Monty.
Well, yeah, but it's a lot of things that most people don't think about when, you know, what would you do if you didn't have electricity? Of course, in the middle of winter when you don't have the sun, that's a different situation. But, you know, we never know when that mountain's going to blow or Mount Rainier or something's going to happen that even during the summer, we don't have electricity. You know, how would you if warm up your food or cook something?
Another thing that I've purchased that we have used several times is I bought a solar panel, one panel that I can sit on the deck, and it will charge up this battery. And I have two batteries, and I can charge them up, and they last for quite a while. And you can charge them up by plugging them in also, and then they hold that charge. So when we lost electricity, we still had lights, so we could run different things because of the batteries that we had already charged up. They weigh a ton. Well, you can, the guys can carry them around. I don't try to carry them. But so John and Sarah had it over, had one of them over at their house to charge their freezer up so we could keep our freezers charged a little bit too. And with, you'd run, in the winter, you'd run out of it after a while, but it would give you a chance to be able to do something about the food in your freezer, and certainly it was helpful. But
well, you know, we're talking about health here, and we don't realize that health is not necessarily needs that the food we eat and whatever. It's, you know, how do we keep warm? How do we do all those kind of things? And it's just, I think the subject is a very important subject to talk about once in a while because it's something that I don't think a lot of people think about because of our instant gratification of, like I said the other day on the call, just flipping the switch or doing whatever, we just automatically think it's going to be there. But so I'm enjoying the subject very much.
You know, we talk about don't tell those doctors not to give us all those pain pills and everything. Like when I was trying to tell the pharmacist when Chas had her tonsils out, you know, we don't need 33 pain pills if she's not going to eat those. And she said, well, that's what the prescription is. That's how I have to fill it. Well, guess what? We still have those pain pills. And they're set aside so that if somebody, you know, something like this happened and somebody got hurt, at least they'd be able to give them a pain pill if they needed it.
Yeah.
In an emergency.
Well, that's why, you know, I think we're on a good subject here. You know, I really believe, you know, I can look back at my days of my grandma and grandpa, and they used to have a huge garden, and there was only two of them. And everybody used to say to grandma, you know, why do you have such a big garden and all that kind of stuff? But when you walked into her house and you found a pantry full of canned foods, I mean canned goods and everything else and whatever, she said, well, you know, when you live through a depression and you realize that things just aren't available, you start to learn to stock up. It's just like one of the things that I even do with my cars. I never let my car get below half a tank of gas because I never know when something's going to happen. If the power goes down, the pumps don't work at the gas station. You know, I carry extra cash in regards to, and, you know, I carry two rolls of quarters in each one of my cars, only for the simple person, if electricity goes down and I need food or need medicine or whatever, if I go, I can't use my ATM card. A lot of them won't take cash, a check. So, you know, that's one of the things I do, just carry a little extra cash in the car, pay for it, and trick me nothing more in emergency. So it's above the subject, but it can get kind of, sometimes, like I say, I think I'm crazy, but at the same time, I'd rather be prepared than not prepared. And I think one of the good things Karen said the other day that kind of hit me that I thought was very important is that not only do we necessarily be concerned about ourselves, but we do have neighbors. And I know I had a neighbor that kind of checked on me every day and brought the food because she had a propane cooker. She cooked food on propane, and she'd bring me down some warm food and every day. And so we need to not only think about ourselves, but also about extended family and even our neighbors in regards.
That's right. That's what I think. We've got a food bank on the island, and so I'm looking forward to taking and dropping off some of those garden stuff at the food bank. Another thing, you don't forget, you know, the first thing that goes off the shelves when a warning that we're having some kind of bad weather, the first thing that goes off the shelves at the grocery store is toilet paper. Those trucks aren't rolling around the country like Monty was mentioning. The first thing that will be gone off the shelves is toilet paper, so you better. I try every time I go into Target or Costco or something, I try to add to my storage of toilet paper.
You know, you amaze me. In fact, I'm sitting here and I'm going to, you know, I got one closet full of nothing but toilet paper. You know, it's just things like that that we don't realize. I can remember in the back old days of Johnny Carson happened to mention something about how there was going to be a shortage of toilet paper, and the next day all grocery stores sold out of toilet paper.
I remember that.
It's just when we think about preparedness, we need to think about what are the things that we need on a daily basis that we need to make sure that if some sort of emergency happened, whatever that emergency be, any time of year, that we could provide for ourselves up to 3 to 6 months in case something happened. And it's just, I think it's a great subject. And you know, one of the main things we need, we can't live without very long, and that's water. You know, what's the source of water if you happen to lose water? The other thing is food. We got to have food. I could probably live 30 days without food. But the other thing they claim in regards to preparedness, and that is medications. And I know we don't want to be on medications, but I know there are people that have certain things that they just basically need their medications, and if they can't get it and don't have it for 30 days, they might be in a real bad situation.
But Monty, on the medications, I don't know how you can store those, because the doctors they only write a prescription for a specific amount, and that's it. They don't allow you to stock up.
Have we ever asked them?
Well, that's the point. You need to, you know, with my doctor, I just came right out and told him, you know, and this was back about a year and a half, 2 years ago, that we were having some situations, and I knew the world crisis, and particularly insulin being made in Denmark and European countries, and being in a diabetic, you know, I just flat out told him, you know, that I'm concerned about what's going on. Is there any possible way that I could get my dosages up to the point to where I could have at least 6 months in supply? There's just, you know, but you got to talk to your doctor. Will all doctors do it? No, but you know, if you don't ask.
How did your doctor respond to that?
Oh, he understood it. He totally understood the fact, you know, because he knows, you know, even like right now, you know, they're having problems with certain drugs in hospitals, that there's even a shortage of drugs that they can't give people because there's a shortage in the world, and they can't even get their hands on it, the things that they need in hospitals and certain meds. So just ask and figure out a way to... If you got to exaggerate your problem and tell them you need more or something, I don't know. Just figure out how to get her done and get her done.
Well, you know, I used to, before I started eating so many cranberries and some of the Nican things, the lactoferrin, and I had problem with bladder infections all the time. And I was in Alaska, and I started having a problem, and so I went to the doctor up there. And by the time I got there, I really didn't have any problem. But I went in anyway, and because I wanted to get the extra medication. And she was the one that really brought it. Said, you know, I said, I don't know if I need it, but I'd like to have it just to have on hand. And she said, boy, that's sure a good idea. She wrote me out a prescription and said, you don't have to take it, just save it up.
Wow. My naturopath.
And so I still have that in my drawer. I don't know how long they last. Probably should find out. Okay, you guys.
Can I tell you
good discussion today?
Something that I've been experiencing with Clyde's problem is the fact that we have been very anti-taking antibiotics, and I can't remember the last time either one of us ever had an antibiotic. We always have used. The Jade Greenzymes and Immunity and the Lactoferrin and all, we bumped those up. Well, you know, with Clyde going through what he's going through now, I don't know how much of detail I'll tell you, but anyway, he has had to be on 2 sets of antibiotics, one that's every 24-hour one, and then the one that was 3 times a day. And I've been grateful that he has not taken antibiotics in times past, so that I'm hoping that his body will be able to survive what they're trying to do to, you know, to get him healthy.
Now, that's
anyway,
a good point.
Yeah.
Karen, let's carry this over tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about preparation tomorrow. I haven't decided for sure yet, but... be sure that Clyde is on a probiotic acidophilus.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, just what Ruth has mentioned. You know, even when any of us take antibiotics, and that is to make sure that we also have a program like, you know, Ruth has talked about, those probiotics and everything else, that where good things will happen because of what the antibiotic does to kill what it needs to kill, but also to bring our body back to where it needs to be to function the way that it needs to function.
Okay, so you guys will carry on tomorrow, and if you have some other things that you think of that we need to have in mind for being prepared, well, we'll just continue having a prepared week, and maybe we'll see other ways that we need to be prepared.
Containers for water is what I want to know about.
Okay, let's talk about it tomorrow. You guys have a great day.
Bye.
Thanks for the good discussion.
Bye.
Thanks, Ruth.
Bye-bye.